Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren, and you're listening to episode number 37, The Science of Sleep with Tara Youngblood. But before we get started in today's episode, I just wanted to announce something quite exciting for all of my local Columbus peeps. My partner and I, David, are actually starting a new workshop here locally at Go Yoga in Upper Arlington. I know that it just feels like the beginning of November when this episode first airs, but before we know it, the holidays are going to be around the season. So we came up with a tailored workshop, a deep release flow, and essential oil experience. So we wanted to create an experience that was not only relaxing, but also very empowering for people to be able to fully show up for this wonderful time of year. Because we think of holidays sometimes as a challenging or triggering point in the year, but really, we should be celebrating. We should be celebrating ourselves, life, all of our loved ones, because there is so much joy to be had. So with that intention, unwrap the holiday stress, a deep full body release, an essential oil experience was born. And again, we're partnering with Go Yoga in Upper Arlington, and the date is December 13th at 7 p.m. And tickets are now on sale. I will link all of this in the show notes, but send me a message if you have any questions, but I would love to see all of the local listeners there in person. So back to today's episode, number 37 with Tara Youngblood, The Science of Sleep. We talk about how Tara started off as a fusion scientist and now is studying the science of sleep. Her product, the Chili Pad, and new product, Uller. Why you need better quality of sleep and not actually more sleep. How sleep and temperature are intricately connected. The importance of your sleep switch. How temperature control messes with your sleep. And how to find your optimal temperature for sleep. The three buckets of sleep. How sleeping well amplifies not only all areas of health, but actually significantly impacts performance percentages. The therapeutic benefits of sleeping cold. How your morning routine is actually tied to your night routine or sleep. Chronotyping and so much more. Please enjoy episode number 37, The Science of Sleep with Tara Youngblood. Welcome back, everybody, to Witchy Wellness Radio. I am your host, Lauren, and today we are talking all about sleep and actually the fact that you don't need more sleep, you just need better sleep. And our guest today is Tara Youngblood. She is a fusion scientist specializing in the science of sleep and also the co-founder of the Chili Pad. So welcome to the show, Tara. This is going to be a great one. I can just feel it.
Oh yeah. I am so excited to be here. I love the title of your show and everything, all your messaging that you're trying to do here.
Well, thank you. We are happy to have you on. And as you know, we love to learn from stories, and I'm sure you have other customer and research testimonials, but we would love to hear your story and how you went from, I'm assuming, something else with fusion science into this science of sleep.
Yeah, so fusion science actually is a branch of physics focused on energy. So nuclear energy is pretty well known to everyone, but fusion is what the sun does. And so it's an alternative to nuclear energy, which is called fission, where you pull apart. So I went into that originally hoping to change the world of energy. Unfortunately, the U.S. moved away from fusion research. So I decided to put my insomniac energy into figuring out sleep instead, and really have spent the last 10 years deep diving into figuring out why my sleep didn't work and how to make it better.
Well, awesome. I am excited to learn everything about this. So I guess how did you start with your research? I know right now, kind of the result of your research was the chili pad. Would you like to kind of walk us through how you maybe came across that discovery and a little bit about what that product actually is?
Yeah, so the chili pad really is a genesis of a market evolution. So Todd and I, my husband is my business partner, and we've brought probably 100 different products to market, but the chili pad was looking at comfort in sleep. He sleeps hot and so always wants it cold, and I like to have a warmer bed, so you can imagine there's always sort of a fight over that temperature part. In 2007, when we came up with the chili pad, it was the start of sort of Select Comfort talking about personalized sleep and adjustable pressure. So we're like, ooh, I want to be able to adjust temperature and pick my own remote and decide what temperature each side of the bed gets to be. So we kind of started into it thinking it was a way to mitigate just temperature discomfort in bed. The backstory to that is that Todd's uncle invented the waterbed. So we kind of like the idea of using water to manipulate temperature. So that's kind of where the genesis of that idea came from. From there, we discovered that temperature is a little bit more magical than just comfort. And that's where I sort of took the deep dive into, wow, this is more than just making it more comfortable to sleep. This is changing the architecture of my sleep. So that's where the research kind of took a rabbit hole and found out that it's really a big difference of quality of sleep when you are matching your temperature to what your body is trying to do during the day.
That is interesting. And I can see, and I know firsthand how partner sleep temperature and, you know, conditions can definitely alter your quality. But with your research, I would love to hear about how actually the variance of temperature throughout the night, how that actually affects your quality of sleep.
Yeah, so I think most people now have heard of circadian rhythm, but it's basically your body's clock. It's the timing mechanism for all of those biological processes that happen during the day. So honestly, when your highest blood pressure is to when your peak cognitive performance is or your best athletic performances, all of those are timed by this body clock. And the big governors of this clock, because obviously you don't have a physical clock inside of you, is the sun and temperature. So as you can imagine, as you go through a 24-hour cycle, and you're outside, not inside, your temperature will adjust as that sun goes up and then when it goes down. And obviously your light will peak during the day and then go down at night. So our bodies have evolved to have this timing mechanism based on the light and temperature of our outside environment. And we, in the last 50 years, have sort of stopped all of that, and we get to have light whenever we want. We get to have whatever temperature we want, and it could be the same temperature 24 hours a day. So that doesn't really help us with triggering these major biological drives like sleep. So one of the things that mitigating or managing your temperature does is it can trigger what is actually not my word, but is called a sleep switch. So Clifford Sapir out of Harvard was the first person to coin that term, but there are neurons in your brain, and when they basically measure a change in temperature, they will trigger the release of melatonin and the other hormones you need to sort of put you to sleep. And that same process happens over and over again throughout the night. So your first half of your night is considered your deep sleep zone. And so there's different hormones that are released there, and it's looking for those cooler temperatures that you would expect between midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning. You'd expect that temperature to be dropping and cool, and your body wants to do the same thing. So it kind of makes sense that that's what it's looking for. And obviously, if our bedrooms are all the same temperature, and if anything, once we're under the covers and our nice, comfy foam mattresses, in the nighttime right now, most people's beds are actually heating up at that time where we're expecting it to be cooling down. So that's one of the reasons why people wake up at night. And then the second half of the night will be a little bit warmer again for REM sleep. And for most people, that is a little bit
warmer because your body is coming out of that valley of coolness and it wants to warm up.
Very cool. And as an avid meditator, that makes total sense for people out there who are familiar with the pineal gland. And it's active between probably 12 and 3, but also I've heard 1 to 4 a.m., which it regulates and produces melatonin and keeps you asleep. So that's very cool. Heating and cooling the bed is different than actually regulating the temperature of the room, as you said. It's more specific to what you actually need. It's a variant throughout the night.
Yeah, so I think the difference, you know, some people say, I sleep just fine. And if you are, then chances are your metabolism or your BMI or your gender or your age may not be making that as acute a problem. Women especially, in our menstrual cycles, premenstrual, we actually are in a state of almost like inflammation. It's that bloating and we're actually a little bit hotter. So it really depends. As simple as even just that time of the month, it can be a different experience for temperature in the bed. And our body really wants a thermal neutral to cooler environment, especially for deep sleep. So we want to try to make sure that when we're sleeping, we want all those covers and blankets and that warm, cozy space. But that can also sabotage our sleep. So we need to kind of keep that in mind as we're setting up that environment for optimal sleep.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on this the past few minutes, but how has the modern world kind of controlled where our sleep is going right now? Like, obviously, the light pollution, I know that also messes with the female cycles, too. Like, we would all ovulate and menstruate with the moon cycle, whether a full moon or a new moon, but with this light pollution, it throws off that rhythm, just like the circadian rhythm. Yeah, could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at we sort of talked about, you know, what's my message around sleep, it really is to sort of look back inside ourselves and that circadian clock. And when we look at managing our environments, you know, look at those light pollution factors, look at that temperature consistency. If you never go outside and you set your house temperature and it's pretty much the same all year round, and then you get in your car and it's that same temperature, and then you go to your office or work or wherever you're headed for the day and you're in there all day and that's the same temperature, your body never gets to have any of those outside influences. So beyond getting outside to do sun, our lives are, we're trying to make it us comfortable all the time, and there a degree of discomfort is actually a good thing to be able to trigger those changes in temperature. It can be too bright out or too dark out. Those are good things to have happen.
And I guess how does one person find their optimal sleep temperature? You said that, you know, depends on the time of the month. And I know that my body is like a heater premenstrually. When I'm trying to sleep, I notice myself sleeping on top of the covers. But is there a way or a science to kind of figure out what your optimal temperature is for you?
Yeah, so I really look at it as there's three buckets of sleep throughout the night. And I've kind of hinted at that, but that first bucket is the sleep switch bucket. So you want to create a change, but that's really different. Like I like to climb into a warm bed. It's not the best for my sleeping, but I that's what I want to climb into. I use a weighted blanket so I can feel super snuggly. Todd, on the other hand, he wants sleep on a slab of ice, I swear. So he just wants it as cold as possible, even when he climbs into bed. And there's a lot of people that just have gotten used to climbing into a room temperature bed, and that's what they're looking for. So that first bucket is very subjective. It's going to be where your comfort factor, because you're still conscious and you're looking to create and basically maximize those sleep habits that you already have to help you get to sleep. So that's a little bit subjective. The middle of the night, you want to be cooler than wherever you start. So for me, because I'm going to be closer to body temperature to get warm and snuggly, I want to go 10, 15 degrees cooler than that. Todd, who's already cold, will just keep it cold. Someone that's starting at room temperature may also drop that down a little bit. And that's really to maximize that deep sleep zone. And that's really talking about that quality thing that you sort of introduced with at the start of the hour. So deep sleep diminishes with age. So as we get older, we actually get less deep sleep. Every time we're stressed out or we're struggling with something, deep sleep often gets sacrificed. Partly that's because all of those things elevate our temperature and they throw off that hormonal balance and that sort of circadian rhythm. So we lose some of that deep sleep, but it's really important to that quality number. So when you wake up in the morning, you feel like, oh, I feel amazing. I can do this. You really want like 2 hours of deep sleep. And that can be hard to get sometimes. So that temperature hack is important in that sort of middle of the night bucket. And then the last bucket is that REM sleep dense zone. And that does want to be a little bit warmer. For most people, that is that room temperature or above to kind of warm you up for the day. And that does mimic the sun coming up and that bright light, warmer temperatures, all those actually trigger the release of cortisone and gets you started on your day.
Awesome. And I'm sure you have lots of examples and stories throughout your research of people's success stories of, you know, struggling with sleep and not making it a part or not believing it was a part of their health or could ever be part of their health routine. Could you share with us some of the probably life-changing stories that you've uncovered through this research?
Yeah. So one of my favorites, and we became friends over time, was a woman that after the birth of her second child, she woke up every night literally dripping with sweat, almost like menopausal hot flash equivalent. So for 10 years, she did not sleep through the night. She had talked to her gynecologist, her primary care physician. They're all like, all your numbers, all your blood tests, everything's normal. You're normal. And she's like, well, this doesn't feel awesome. But they didn't give her any, other than the normal sleep tips, they didn't give her any way to get there. So that was one of the, we met about a year ago now. And just managing her temperature has changed a lot. The biggest wow for her, I think, is that when she started using temperature, she stopped waking up at night. But the biggest thing about sleep that I think people forget about is that we create these sort of almost fears or hesitations. And so because she wasn't sleeping well at night, she would actually go to bed after the latest late show or watch TV or whatever. So she was going to bed at like midnight, 1 o'clock, still getting up to take her kids to school. But she'd kind of given up on sleep as important because it was so hard to be successful at it. When she was able to have this win with temperature, it changed the dynamic in more ways than just not getting up at night. Her entire routine, she started looking at all of those other aspects of when I go to sleep, chronotype, and that which matches your circadian rhythm. So the timing and the habits and how she looked at sleep changed. So now if she goes to bed at 9:30, she has amazing quality sleep, and her day looks entirely different. So for her, the morning before when she wasn't sleeping would be 45 minutes of coffee and dragging and kind of getting the kids out the door. But it wasn't an enjoyment factor. It was a, I'm surviving. I'm surviving my life. I'm getting through it. Now she wakes up and 6 to 7 months later of that, she's getting up. She's doing 2 or 3 things while her kids are getting ready to go out the door. And by the time she's headed out the door to work, she feels successful. She's already doing stuff. She's really productive. And I think that's the really important message here is sleep does give you superpowers. If you have a good night's sleep, you can do something way more productive than you can without sleep. There's lots of studies and infographics and pictures about sleep deprivation really being like you're drunk. And I think for most people that if you're not sleeping, you kind of feel like you're going through your day as if you were drunk, but without all the fun. You just feel like you're not as quick, your reflexes are slow, your ability to make decisions is slow, and you're just not as productive. And I think that's the big part of her story is not only is it important to fix your sleep, but the power of what that does and what you're incentivized then to do to fix your diet, your exercise, all the other habits around health. If you can sleep well, the studies show
all of those are better, are amplified.
And that makes complete sense because I'm sure you could speak more to this, but when you're sleeping, your parasympathetic nervous system's turned on, the like rest and digest and repair. And versus in a survival mode or a lighter sleep, you won't have that much as much time for your body to be in that homeostasis state. And I see it with health coaching clients all the time is once you can get your sleep right, you have less cravings. You know, you don't, like you said, you spend less time drinking caffeine in the morning and getting going. And it's easier to stay healthy because you naturally feel better and you make better decisions. And honestly, the weight melts off people once they can establish a better sleep routine.
It is all those willpowers, the desire to exercise, how heavy you exercise. So we see it in our professional athletes that use the product. Almost every professional team, we've got Olympic athletes. It's a really fundamental difference. If you get great deep sleep, your performance metrics are measurable percentages. There's not like some point little unmeasurable thing. It is night and day difference. And those are people that are measuring every minute, but for the rest of us, it still makes a pretty big difference.
Oh yeah. And I can feel when I don't get enough sleep and I roll out of bed and I'm rushed and I'm tired, versus for me, getting a good night's sleep, waking up, starting my day with meditation, those two together are like the secret sauce for life. I feel more focused. I feel alert. I can do anything. And sometimes, you know, people don't want to have an elaborate morning routine. And I don't think it has to be. I think what you're saying and the research shows it, and especially utilizing something like your product, the quality of your sleep will help you feel like you just had the best morning routine and you're ready to take on the world.
It does. It's pretty, like, I just think it's magical, truly. Like, when you have a great sleep, it is a magical feeling. And it restarts everything.
We've established that the chili pad, altering your sleep temperature throughout the night and sleeping cold helps you get into that deep state of sleep and, you know, makes you feel like you have superhuman powers when you wake up. But what are the other therapeutic benefits of sleeping cold?
So sleeping cold, you know, this actually gets fairly geeky into my physics part. But when you take out heat out of an equation, you actually create less disorder. You actually improve the health of cells. Some of this goes to fellow sort of or parallel interventions like cryotherapy or taking ice baths. Whenever you can sort of restart your system, expose it to colder temperatures, the overall system benefits are huge, but it, you know, your immune system, autoimmune, chronic pain, inflammation, there's many side benefits. We have a lot of MS or neurological patients that use it. We have cancer treatment. So when you're going through cancer treatment, the drugs and some of the therapies are terrible on your thermostat. So you're riding that roller coaster. It helps create consistency there. It's a pretty simple fix. There's no willpower to changing temperature because you're asleep. You can't change that much. So you want to find interventions for sleep that will help you be healthier, but you're asleep. So it's not like you can choose that. You have to choose it while you're awake.
I like that. And I love how you put that. It's once you make that decision to implement something like this, you're sleeping. There's no willpower needed. You know, it's a passive lifestyle change. It's going to really skyrocket your health and well-being.
Yeah. And I think sleep interventions in general, you mentioned meditation, you know, that's an amplifier for sleep. It's reducing stress before you go to sleep. It's creating good bedtime habits of, you know, taking up the time from cell phones and TV and all of those blue light attractors and go for a walk or meditate or, you know, just take some peaceful time. Keep your bedroom not a bedroom about the piece of furniture, but a sleep room. Create a space for sleep. And when you can do that,
that amplifies sleep as well.
Hmm. Are there any other surprising sleep research or suggestions you have in addition to sleeping cold?
I think one of the biggest ones that I have to remind myself about all the time, because you get busy in your day, but starting your day with sunshine, starting your day outside, starting your day, as you suggested, with meditation, it seems counterintuitive. We want to get started and get moving and get out the door, and you're feel like you're on a rolling ball. But to stop and take that time and start your day peacefully with outside grounding, all of those sort of what feels like slow down habits will actually make your day more productive. So again, I'm all about quality over quantity. So if I can do more productive work in less time, it's worth taking that time to meditate or take a walk outside or whatever that looks like for you to do that practice.
Yeah, we speak about that a lot on this show. And I mean, I can't speak to it enough. And for me, if I have to want to do something, and for there's a balance between, you know, forcing yourself to doing something or, you know, pushing yourself to grow. And for years, I would look at morning routine or just meditation in general as something I had to do. And it's a really big perspective shift when you're like, I'm doing this for my betterment. I get to do this. I'm excited to do this because I know I'm only going to feel better. And I mean, this could apply to people's perspectives on sleep too. And, you know, you get to have a warm and cool climate controlled bed, or you get to have a good night's sleep, and it is possible. And it's something as easy as this, something like this product as a chili pad, as, you know, making a decision to better your sleep quality, which, you know, is going to have a ripple effect to every area of your health and life, and set it up and sleep. As simple as that.
It is. Yeah. The morning is absolutely tied to the night. You can see it when they do studies on basically jet lag, and people that do that same morning routine in that new time zone to reset, to start their day, that body clock is looking for that start, just like it's looking for that trigger to end and to go to sleep. It's looking for that trigger to start your day, and the timeliness of it and when you do it and how often you do it for that habit. When you make it a habit, it's really powerful for what it does all the way down the line. All those other timed processes, they just happen at the right time. They happen when they should, how they should, for how long they should, when you start out at the right time and the right place and then the right frame of mind.
That's so interesting. I never thought, that makes completely sense, how you could kind of retrain your body and your mind after jet lag. Because I know I am not the best at jet lag. I know that I could probably fall asleep standing up when I'm jet lagged. I've never had trouble falling asleep, I'll say that much. But I did want to, we've touched a lot on the chili pad today, and I know you guys have a new exciting product coming out. Would you like to touch on the new product? Is it called Uller?
It is. So, chili pad is basically a mattress pad with water in it, and that water is maintained at whatever temperature you set at, just like you would set your thermostat in your house to a certain temperature and you set it and forget it and it would stay that way. So Uller is sort of that next evolution, just like your thermostat, where you'd have a programmable thermostat where you could set different schedules and have it turn on automatically or turn off automatically. Or as I talked about the three buckets of sleep, you can set up that kind of schedule. It has a little bit more sophistication in the sense that you can adjust fans speed. It's a little bit more energy efficient. We took about 20 watts out to make it a little bit more efficient. So, you know, it's just that next evolution.
Well, awesome. And what are some features and benefits and the competitive advantage of, well, I guess both products?
So I think I like the fact that it's not a mattress. You know, your mattress is a great, in a lot of ways, is a great glory glorified couch. You know, it's a piece of furniture that needs to be comfortable and practical, and you sit on it. But the lifespan of a mattress is 8 to 10 years, and it's very variable on who and what mattress you would like to sleep on. So because it's just a mattress pad, it can go on every mattress. There's no pressure variance on a pressure sensitive, like a Tempur-Pedic bed, where you can be able to still sleep on it. I feel like its advantages are some of those temperature variations plus energy savings. So when you look at your air conditioning of how much it takes to cool down your whole apartment or your whole house, but if you're basically cooling and heating right underneath your body, that allows a lot more flexibility in those big thermostat numbers that are much more expensive to manage. So, you know, we're running on 170 watts for a chili pad and 140 watts for an Uller, and you look at those differences, and that's a pretty cheap. It's a little more than a light bulb, but it's pretty cheap to run that all night versus a whole big air conditioning unit.
That is very interesting, and really for that much energy cost and usage, it's well worth the investment, quote unquote, to really take care of your health and your quality of sleep. Do you have any tips of how to use the product effectively?
I think the biggest tip or the biggest question I get is, you know, back to that, what temperature do I sleep at? What temperature do I start at? And I think it really is about sort of figuring out what you like to go to sleep with. Sleep is driven by a lot of those sort of almost nesting qualities of, if you were to build a nest, what temperature would you want it at? And this would be reflective of that. It sometimes does take a few days or nights equivalent to get that dialed in. Most people will figure out a specific number that's just feels right for them. And, you know, to be patient with that process. I'd also encourage people to play around with what time they go to sleep. That was one thing that the testimonial I shared, you know, figuring out that she was going to bed way later than she needed to. Consider figuring out what your chronotype is. There's so many quizzes online. It'll give you a hint on when you should be going to sleep, when that sleep window might be. And that will help you have a better treatment of those temperature zones, because then your body will be looking for that particular sleep at that time.
Well, we all love a good quiz. I'll make sure to link one in the show notes. So I just want to ask you more about is it called chronotype? So does it also say like suggested length or duration, or is it more just the time of night that's best for you to go to sleep?
So chronotyping is, I think, super fascinating. I could do a whole hour talk on that all by itself. Dr. Bruce recently, I think a lot of the quizzes that are out now, he does 4 chronotypes. The original German test that was given to figure it out and to sort of map it was more questions, and it kind of came up with 5 groups. But we think of morning person or morning lark and night owl. That's really what it's describing. But it's pretty amazing when you start looking at the body clock of what other things are timed throughout the day. And I think I mentioned before that there's actually depending on your chronotype, there will be a peak time of the day. So if you have a really tough, deep work, stuff you really want to dive into and use all your cognitive power, if you're a morning person, it's probably like 11 o'clock in the morning. That's before lunch. That's your peak cognitive load. You get your highest body temperature is sometime after dinner. Again, it sort of depends on the timing. It could be as early as 7. It could be as late as 9 or 10. But that peak of that heat of the day in your body is going to be a lot warmer. And one of the things we kind of forget when we take our temperature is we're running a fever, or we're maybe a little warmer because of a menstrual cycle. You know, that there is fluctuations in our body temperature throughout the day, and you see that in that circadian rhythm, and it's exemplified in those differences of chronotype as well.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of this before. I'm very excited to do more research on this. But like you kind of said, I feel like most of us probably know if we're more of the night owl or an early riser to begin with. But yeah, that is such a a great tool to utilize to kind of figure out where to go. And I love, you know, with diets, there's so many different ways people say you should eat. There's blood type diet, there's, you know, paleo, vegan, whatever. But this is just a guide for people to kind of play around with and start from. It's not a strict, you know, this is what you do, go to sleep at this time and wake up at the, you know, I love how you
approach. But it may help you with it may help you with the timing of your dieting, certainly for fasting. Yeah. If you look at a lot of the fasting, the questions they're asking you, even if they don't define it that way, a lot mm-hmm. of them are looking for what chronotype you are to find out when your best fasting windows are, when your body's going to respond best to fasting so that you're managing that. You know, it makes a difference when we time when we eat sort of those heavier, if we are going to eat carbs or if we're going to eat protein, like what meals would be better. You can go pretty deep dive into looking at some of those chronotypes, and especially when you combine that with the power of phenotype and genotype and start really looking at who you are. I think the biggest secret right now is figuring out who you are. And I think that 23andMe's and some of those that have encouraged us to figure that out have teased at it. But the real benefit, I think, is in identifying what works for you in your health. So identify your body clock timing, identify what works for you for diet, what works for you for exercise. Put those pieces together because you are only you. There's only one like you, and how you go about doing that really should be individualized for you. So you need to find the time, and it's hard to come up with what your recipe is, what your plan is, what is the best you can be.
Mm, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And wow, you can even find out, you know, best kind of diets and fasting times. And I love the word breakfast because for me, it's a very literal name. It's you're breaking your fast. And I think, you know, there's a lot of information or buzz right now about intermittent fasting, but I think people forget that we fast all the time, every day, when we go to sleep and then when we wake up.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there is almost this sense, honestly, I ran into different cultures are so great at teaching us about ourselves. And, you know, having a conversation with a guy from a small island country, in his country, being heavy means you're successful. It means, like, you know, everything we look at, they want to be the supermodel on the front of Vanity Fair magazine or whatever that place is for you. But, you know, he was like, oh, I just need to eat more. And I'm like, wow, like, that's a crazy thought. But, you know, there's so many thoughts out there. And again, this fasting thing, it works for me. I love the idea of it because I don't like the pressure of feeling like I'm supposed to eat when I'm not hungry. To me, that never made sense. And I do love Jason Fung's book on that. You know, he just did a great job of sort of defining that with obesity code. And I felt like it was really freeing to me. And again, part of that message of like, I need to figure out what's right for me and not just do a fad diet because that's what everyone says you're supposed to do. You got to do what feels good for you.
Yes, 100%. And I found, you know, myself and a lot of my friends with all sorts of body types and lifestyles, you know, tapping into what works for us in some shape or form really work well with intermittent fasting or just fasting in general. And I love what you say, you know, that's what I teach with health coaching in the school I went to as well, is finding what works for you. You know, you're an individual person, you know, we have so many different perspectives in the world, but all that matters is yours and how you feel in your body. And I know health and wellness and happiness can feel like a big daunting thing for people. And just look about our conversation with sleep and chronotype and how it opened up to so many possibilities of where life can and your health can lead you. But for me, I really like to commit to one thing at a time because I love to commit to all the things at once, and that never ends up very well, I will say. And what a beautiful way.
Well, it's not very scientific either.
No,
I pinch myself because I get new ideas. I'll have conversations like, oh, I can't wait. But there is sort of a scientific method. And that's part of figuring out what's right for you is don't maybe try to do it all at once. Pick something and say, I'm going to work on this, and then measure and test it. And because we don't sleep the same every night, you're not going to sleep the same after you've had a drink of alcohol versus not. You're not going to sleep the same after a very stressful day versus not. So sleep especially is one of those things that track it for a month. Track it through your menstrual cycle, track it through whatever. And I don't mean tracking like it has to be on a tracker, but like keep a journal, keep track of it, what really works and what doesn't, because it may not be a one night wonder fix.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. With anything, a lifestyle change or tracking or just the awareness of it, like we're talking about, at least 30 days for anything. And if you're trying to change something, it takes at least 20 to 30 days to really establish a habit too. But yeah, I had such a wonderful time talking with you today, and we covered a lot more than just sleep. Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on or maybe wrap up on that we didn't yet cover?
Ooh, you know, I do. I think we covered a whole lot. You know, I think my soapbox right now is specifically about women and sleep. And I feel like as a mom, I am guilty of my own worst, you know, version of this. But, you know, we put our kids first, our spouses, work, even a load of laundry or one last task before we go to bed. And it doesn't always do us the best. We aren't always our best people, our best moms the next day because of it. And so when you take the time to be your best self, to take the time to do meditation or to sleep well and to create a sleep routine, to make sure you get enough sleep and you get the right quality sleep, that is a really worthwhile endeavor. And it may seem like at first you're taking away from something, but in the end, that much happier, that much more productive person with great sleep especially is going to be that better self that all of those people and purposes and causes in your life will actually benefit from.
Yes. And that just sounds lovely. Sign me up for that. I know we all can work on that. I know so many of us listening to the show and myself included, we just want to, you know, help the world, save the world, and just love on everybody and do all the things. But we really need to take the time and focus on ourselves. It is not selfish at all. So thank you again, Tara, for coming on so much. I'm so grateful for me to learn from you, one thing, but also to share this lovely information and your research and your products to all the viewers out there. And if you guys like the show or you know somebody who might be struggling with sleep or could use help with, you know, getting their health realigned, share this episode. You know, we want to reach as many people with this valuable information. And I know all you listeners are thankful too for Tara's time and your, you know, your research over the past 10 years and your products and the value that you provided us today with this beautiful information. And I love to challenge all of our listeners and ask you how we can be of service to you and provide you back with some value too.
Well, I think you covered it. The cause of sleep, a statistic I read just earlier this week, is about 50% of the world population has bouts of insomnia. That's like at least half of us. So share your story about sleep. We don't talk about it because it's often been used as something that's a badge of honor if you don't sleep much and you're stronger and better, but that's just not true. So if you find a way to get your sleep better, share it with someone. Chances are that person is struggling with sleep too and could use the support.
Well, awesome. And thank you again so much for coming on. I know so many people, this is very impactful for them.
Great. Thank you for having me.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.